Welcome to the Wolverine Confidential Podcast. I am Andrew Kahn.
I am Ryan Zook.
And I'm Aaron McMahon.
We're closing in on Michigan's game against UNLV. It's another non-conference cupcake. Well, the Wolverines taste victory once again. We discuss what to look for in Game 2 coming up on Wolverine Confidential. All right, guys, good to be with you here Thursday morning, September 7th. As promised, pregame pod for UNLV, University of Nevada, Las Vegas, as Aaron McMahon writes in all his pregame stories. 3:39 kickoff on CBS. Another, you know, new first year of this deal between the Big Ten and CBS. UNLV's first game ever on the network. And yeah, the second meeting ever between Michigan and UNLV. First one came, it was Harbaugh's just his second win at Michigan in 2015. And yeah, Michigan played two Mountain West teams last year and crushed them both to open the season. And odds makers expect this one will be lopsided again. So I don't know. I don't need game predictions from you guys. I want kind of more, what are you looking for? What are you thinking that Michigan can build on from last week? Or maybe some players we didn't see last week that you want to see this week? Or just things that did or didn't happen that you're looking for? What is exciting about this game?
Well, they need to run the football better. I mean, that was kind of maybe the one maybe negative coming out of Saturday's game, at least on the offensive side of the ball, right? Like they ran the ball well at times. Blake had the big run and that set up the second touchdown. But by and large, I mean, it was a very unimpressive game from the running game perspective. I think there were struggles up front with the offensive line, handling what East Carolina was throwing at them. I don't know if UNLV is going to play the same way, but I got to think not having Sharon Moore on the sideline last week hurt just in terms of in-game adjustments and everything else. So they do get Sharon back this week. He is going to be calling the play, so we'll see where the offense goes from there. But I'm really going to be looking at the run game and how they kind of improve or you know, adjust as the game goes on.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to be much improved in the run game. I think UNLV is much more vulnerable against the run than I think East Carolina was. I mean, even going back to last year, I know East Carolina had a completely new team this season, but they were pretty good against the run last year and struggled against the pass, and that's exactly how it played out on Saturday. I mean, UNLV played they dominated Bryant in the FCS an FCS team in their opener, but I think they still gave up like 170 something rushing yards too. So I think Michigan's going to be able to take advantage, and I can see this score getting very lopsided in a hurry.
Yeah, Michigan a 36 point favorite, something like that, similar to what it was last week. Obviously, Michigan ended up not covering that number. We'll see if some of these giant spreads start getting adjusted, you know, with the new clock rules. Seems like other you know, top 10 teams had no problems winning by 40, 50 points, but, you know, their offenses might be a little bit different. Michigan kind of more, I think it was Kirk Campbell talking about this yesterday with us, you know, not huge, you know, plays in the passing or run game, typically more, you know, chunk plays that move them along. They pick up more first downs than most teams and maybe take a little more time off the clock, which, you know, this year would be even more time off the clock, the way it moves. Ryan, your story on that post yet, or it's coming today, or?
Yeah, no, it posted yesterday. I did some research, and I was kind of surprised with, because yeah, like Donovan Edwards said on Tuesday, the game still felt long, but diving into the numbers, Michigan averaged 138.2 plays per game, including 62.8 on defense last season. And on Saturday, the game only featured 117 plays, and Michigan's defense was only on the field for 55. So, like, Braden McGregor was like, yeah, I noticed, like, wanting to get I was more rested. I wanted to get back out there. It seemed like the drives were taking a ton of time off the clock, and that was without them running the ball very much. So, you mentioned the spreads and stuff. I think it might hurt Michigan as a cover team this year because they are – more prone to having those long 7, 8, 9 yard drives, and that's going to take even more time off the clock. They're still going to win, but like it's just not going to give them as much opportunity to rack up the score. So we'll see how it happens. It's only one game, but I do think it's making a difference and should affect the spreads moving forward.
Game still felt long because it still was. I mean, that just means a larger percentage of the game is commercials now. Did you see that? You know, kind of post from someone on Reddit about the FSU LSU game.
I did not. But you seem like a Reddit guy, so enlighten us.
I'm not. It came across on a different social media platform, but the game kicked off at 7:45 and ended at 11:08. So that's 3 hours 23 minutes. 131 ads were shown for a total of 55 minutes. So it's just, there's just not enough.
That's crazy.
And that wasn't counting. He stopped the clock, I guess, right when they came back from commercial. So even if they're still saying when they come back, tonight's game was brought to you by, or, here's the Affleck trivia question, which are, they're all ads. Those weren't counted. Those were counted as game time. So when you only get, game presentation time of 2.5 hours and ad time of 1 hour, it's just, it's tough. It's really tough. And they're making it just, I don't know if it's tougher to watch on TV or tougher to be at home or tougher to be in the stands. If you're in the stands, you're captive. But I don't know. There's some other sights and sounds. If you're at home, it's just the nonstop ads, but you can change the channel. I don't know. It's not good.
Unless you're watching on Peacock. Well,
yep.
That's just it, right? They're still playing 60 minutes of football. The quarter times haven't changed, but more time is being eaten up by, like you said, when they get those first down gains. So the game's essentially, it's being, the percentage of plays is going down.
So yeah, Michigan UNLV, big favorite. UNLV, Steve Klinkscale, Michigan co-defensive coordinator, secondaries coach, talked about the strong arm of UNLV quarterback Doug Brumfield. His numbers were not good in the opener by any means, but on tape he saw some missed opportunities in the long passing game. We already mentioned Ricky White from UNLV, a receiver that tortured Michigan in 2020 when he was with Michigan State. He's part of some, they got some speed on the outside on this team, including in the punt return game. They got a running back from Pitt that's good. And they've got a, defensive minded, head coach. So I think they definitely are a program that's on the rise, but they don't seem ready to necessarily compete with Michigan. So again, it's more about what we see, from Michigan. You talked about the running game. We should see a different backup quarterback for what it's worth. I mean, Jack Tuttle should get the first snaps, the Indiana transfer, behind JJ McCarthy to battle for that number two spot. I don't know. Does that interest you at all? Or when you've got an entrenched starter like McCarthy, I guess it doesn't matter too much.
I'm a little surprised that maybe potentially falling in the depth chart. Cause remember, we go back to the spring game, right? He was the other starter opposite of JJ McCarthy. So that would indicate coming out of the practice that he was probably, had the edge at the number two spot. That clearly hasn't maybe borne out through the summer and in the fall camp. The fact that Davis Warren was the first backup quarterback out of the field on Saturday tells me that he probably is the edge. Now, I don't know how big it is, but a little bit surprising. I think if you're Michigan, just in general, you want to find a backup quarterback that you can rely on, just in case, heaven forbid that JJ does go down with a serious injury and gets knocked out for a significant amount of time. You need someone you can trust in there. Jack Tuttle came into the year with probably the most experience of the group. Now he hasn't been part of the Michigan offense, so he's brand new to the program in that regard. But you want someone you can lean on. And I think right now they're going to treat these first three games, at least that's what it sounds like a live scrimmage. They're going to find out who they think is best in game, and they'll probably roll from there.
Yeah, to be honest, I'm not that surprised at all. I mean, Jack Tuttle's been around for, this is his sixth year in college football, and he only started, I think, 5 games at Indiana. So it's not like, he was a big name coming out of high school, a highly ranked recruit, but it never really translated to production at the college level. So I mean, by going with Davis, you get a younger guy, a guy with probably more potential. So might as well try and groom him into that role. And I think he might offer a little bit more upside. And we haven't seen him much, but I mean, in the spring game, I think 2 years ago, he played pretty well. Was 5 of 9 passing last year for 89 yards. He can run it a little bit. So to me, it's not that surprising too. And they probably brought in Tuttle just for more insurance, but he was no guarantee that he would be able to be that number two and provide that reliability that Michigan's searching for in the backup quarterback spot.
Rod Moore and Will Johnson both missed the game with injury here on Thursday morning. I guess what's your prediction for whether they suit up on Saturday against UNLV?
I don't have a good guess. Probably going to be a game time decision, depending on how they're feeling. You know, if you're Michigan, I don't think you feel like you need to play them. Like you'd liked what you saw on Saturday out of some of the backups and some of the reserve guys. But I do think they want to get them in a game mold, right? You want them getting ready and getting live game reps and kind of acclimating them before the Big Ten season, the schedule starts. So I got to think there'll probably be a game time decision. They'll probably dress. Whether they play, I don't know. And if they do play, is it only a handful of reps? Like last week, Makari Page, for instance, you know, safety was questionable in a game time decision. And he ended up playing, what, like 10 snaps? So I could see something like that where they play a little bit. Not a ton.
Yeah, I mean the last thing you want, if you're Michigan, is them to like tweak something in a not a meaningless game, but in a game that you know you're going to win, no matter even if you had the third string defensive backs out there. So it sounds like they've practiced this week, and they were close to playing even the week before. But when we talked to like Keon Sabb, He knew like a week before that he was going to start, and same with Josh Wallace and Keyshawn Harris. So it kind of sounded like they knew going into that first game that Will and Rod weren't going to play. So if they're not at least 95% healthy, I don't see why they would risk it. And when you still have another non-conference game, you could kind of break them into next week as well. But we'll see. I think what Aaron said would be a pretty good plan too, just to give them a few snaps just to get their feet wet, but you definitely don't want to overdo it.
Since we last recorded, we've talked to players on Tuesday night, including Donovan Edwards, and got assistant coaches Kirk Campbell and Steve Klingscale. Campbell, the quarterback's coach who served as the play caller in Sharon Moore's absence in the opener, and Klingscale, who again, you know, on the defensive side and just always has, is always insightful with us. Yeah, I guess any highlights from anything, you know, you learned or just found interesting from any of those interviews?
Yeah, I'll chime in here. You know, we spoke to Kirk Campbell, quarterback's coach. He was in charge of calling plays last Saturday, and I think we got some clarity, which I thought was interesting. We had heard all offseason that, and JJ said this in interviews, that he wanted to use his legs more. And I think we all assumed that meant running more. And I don't know if that's necessarily the case, right? Because Kirk Campbell said on Wednesday that we're not necessarily, you know, letting him go, you know, out of the pocket and scrambling for yards. It's more scrambling to kind of continue plays and keep and extend plays in the passing game. So we saw Saturday Michigan was very active with the play action. I think that seems to be kind of like step one in this offensive progression. And I think it's more along those lines, right? It sounds like they're giving JJ more freedom. He's calling out things. He called some audibles on Saturday, called some different protections, and obviously worked out. And obviously it was East Carolina, so the opponent exactly wasn't great. But JJ is taking the next step. And I think it's part of this evolution, right? Of Michigan throwing the ball a little bit more than they have in the past couple of years and trying to open things up a bit.
For me, I love listening to Steve Klingscale talk really about anything. I mean, he's probably might be the most insightful coach on the staff, and he cuts through the fluff too. I mean, he's not trying to say everyone on the depth chart is glowing in practice, and I mean, he wears his heart on his sleeve and tells it how it is, and kind of dive, and when you ask a question, he typically answers it with more than just one sentence. So nothing too scintillating coming from that, but just more just interesting perspectives on certain topics that we could definitely use for future topics.
Aaron asked me before we started recording, is there anything new with basketball? I feel like we haven't talked about them in a while. The answer is no, there is not. I mean, I don't know if we ever fully recapped the women's trip, you know, overseas, but you know, it's three lopsided games. You know, as we get closer to the season, I can talk about kind of who started in those games, what the rotations were like, you know, who's looking to, you know, be key contributors on that team, but not sure that's super relevant at this point. But the men's team, no, I mean, still have the open scholarship, but, you know, I don't think they're going to be, using it necessarily. It's school has started at this point. They did, you know, find a, you know, a big man, a freshman, you know, overseas that they were able to get, but, you know, given the timing of it, I'm not sure how much of a contributor he'll be this year, and just, you know, the fact that they've got someone at that position, it just gives them a little depth behind Terrace Reed Jr. You know, to have another you know, center on the roster instead of kind of moving guys that are out of position in that spot. But Olivier Kamwa, you know, will be is back after his, you know, time playing with the Finland national team in the FIBA World Cup, the World Cup in which Germany and the Wagner brothers, Mo and Franz, are in the semifinals and will face the United States tomorrow night. So I have a story previewing that. Yeah, that's pretty much all there is to say about basketball. We'll have media day in a month. You know, I'll have more about the team after that. But no, not quite that time where we're talking hoops and hockey and some other sports. It's kind of all football all the time right now on Wolverine Confidential.
One more thing before we sign off, and Andrew, I'm assuming you saw this because you wrote the UNLV preview. But did you guys look at the box score from UNLV's opener against Bryant?
I sure did.
I did.
The stats. Yeah. They won the game 44-14. Mm-hmm. They were outgained 409-394. UNLV committed one more turnover than Bryant, and they lost the time of possession advantage by nearly 19 minutes, and they won 44-14. That's just incredible to me.
It is. I mean, UNLV maximizes opportunities. First of all, you know, it yes. covered 96 or 98 yards on a kickoff return. So that, you know, you just needed 2 yards to get your 7 points there. You know, they scored at the very end of the half. You know, just to, as far as, again, time of possession, they maximize things. But yes, odd. You know, you look at some of those numbers, you'd certainly think maybe the Bryant won, or at least it was more competitive. But to have a 30-point win, yeah, when your quarterback is like, I think he's like 7 of something. I mean, 80 something yards. It wasn't particularly flashy, but yeah, I don't know. But again, all of this will be tested in much greater levels against Michigan.
Maybe I'm foreshadowing my prediction here, but I think Michigan is ripe for running all over UNLV on Saturday. I'm just going to say that.
No, I agree there. And I know we talked earlier about, yeah, maybe spreads might be coming down because of the new clock rules. But really, Michigan should have covered against ECU and missed out on some opportunities. That goal line fumble, a missed field goal, missed extra points. So there was definitely some points left on the board there. But I don't think UNLV is as good as ECU. And I think Michigan's really going to it's going to be a blowout on Saturday.
Michigan still ranked number 2 in the country. UNLV has faced the second-ranked team once. They opened the 1996 season against Peyton Manning and Tennessee, and they lost 62-3. So I don't know. What does that mean for this game? Absolutely nothing, but a relevant note nonetheless, or an interesting one, I guess, at least. Okay, Michigan, UNLV. They're telling you 3:30, but it's 3:39 is when Toe will meet Leather at the Big House on CBS. You know, you go from the most extreme to kind of the most basic. You know, who doesn't get just regular CBS? No trouble finding that, I don't think, on your TV. But yes, you have to adjust to just a different game presentation and broadcasters that, you know, you've heard over the years on those big SEC games, but coming to the Big Ten. So
Brad Nessler and Gary Danielson on the call. I spoke to Gary Wednesday night. I asked him when he thought the last time was that he covered a Michigan game or called a Michigan game. He couldn't remember. So that's how long it's been. So it's going to be, you know, some obviously familiar names, but like you said, different network, different presentation.
Well, good year to get into Big Ten football for them, because yes, they certainly have some legitimate playoff teams. And yeah, so that's, I know Gary likes talking up those SEC teams and their playoff possibilities. So you know, now a Big Ten guy, and he always has been, as far as, you know, his roots, you know, grew up in Michigan and played at Purdue. And Aaron, you'll have a separate story on him, or just kind of working some stuff into pregame coverage?
Yeah, I probably will. You know, he said he went to Purdue. He almost picked Michigan, but that's when Bo took over, so there was a coaching staff change. So yeah, he had some interesting stuff to say. He turned 72 now on Sunday, still going strong. He's looking forward to watching Michigan play on Saturday. So
all right. Well, we'll have plenty of coverage before, during, and after on MLive.com/Wolverines. Thanks for listening.